Welcome to the Life Leadership Podcast with myself, Leela Singh, all things coaching, career, and personal branding. This podcast is for ambitious career professionals like you, wanting to create a life of choice and freedom, to be, do, and have more through overcoming limitations, to develop new perspectives and insights, and to redefine your success, be that in work, health, relationships, and so much more. Hi there, and welcome to Live with Leela. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world today. My name is Leela Singh, and I'm an executive career and personal brand coach, and I work with career professionals, typically in the technology industry, who are aspiring to overcome their limitations and uncover their real potential and create new possibilities for themselves. People who want to elevate both their life and excel in their career and create new possibilities by redefining success in work, health, relationships, and so much more, whilst showing up as the best version of themselves, what I call life leadership. So, today I have a guest with me. Before I introduce him, what are we talking about today? The topic today is, what is your happiness really worth? And here's the thing, many people focus on the external route to achieving happiness. In other words, the tangible things such as a piece of jewelry, the watch, the car, the holiday, a new kitchen, or even a new house, a bigger house. All of these things, which sometimes can be quite short-lived. In fact, what is so often overlooked is the internal route to longer-term happiness. And that's what we're going to delve into a little bit today. In fact, research shows that those that are healthier and spending time doing the inner work, read that as personal development, experience longer-term happiness and fulfillment. So why is it that so few people realize that real and lasting happiness comes from within? Well, today I am joined by Darren Putt, health and performance coach, and we're going to be delving into this conversation a little more and sharing our experiences of this. So let me bring Darren into the stream. Hi, Darren, can you hear me?
Hi, Leela. Yeah, loud and clear. Thank you.
Welcome. Great to have you here today.
Thank you very much. Pleasure.
Okay, so the topic today is, what is your happiness worth? And Darren and myself were talking about this as a topic for conversation. Why? Because it's topical at this time of year. We're just going through the whole Black Friday and Cyber Monday. We've been bombarded with emails and offers every which way we turn, whether it's on TV, at the shops, on our emails, our text messages, social media. And there's so much of it in our faces. And then, now that we're coming out of that, we're heading towards Christmas. So we're focusing on buying gifts for our family, our loved ones. And then straight after that, normally Boxing Day, we hit the sales again. And we're looking at things. So the reason that this topic is pertinent today is because many people believe that things, in other words, the tangibles, like the jewelry, the watch, the house, the holiday, all those material things are what brings happiness. And there's a real need for those things to create that happiness. So, Darren, I'd like to kind of throw that one over to you for a moment. What is it that drives that behavior, do you think, the need to have all of these things?
That's a good question. I think it's lots and lots of things. And you mentioned Cyber Monday and Black Friday and all those type of things. Isn't it great to be able to unsubscribe from all those mailing lists that you've forgotten you'd signed up to? So that's one big bonus. I find it quite a confusing time of year in some ways, and almost it makes me feel a little bit sad in some ways, because you see so many people driven to purchasing and acquiring more and more things. And as you rightly say, I'm not convinced that that will actually lead to happiness beyond the moment when the gifts open or the gifts received. Certainly in my experience working with clients over the years, many of which are pretty successful people, pretty wealthy, have the nice house, cars, jewellery, etc., etc., it definitely doesn't always equate to long-term happiness on its own.
No, I absolutely agree. And, you know, I can say the same. I remember even now in the space that I'm in sort of the business entrepreneurial space, but also when I was working in corporate, you know, I was surrounded by people earning good money who, you know, we used to joke about the cars and the watches and the holidays and all of that. But ultimately, sometimes when I looked around me, like people just weren't really, truly happy. It was those short spurts of time, like as an example, going away on holiday. And I don't know if you've witnessed this yourself, Darren, with people that go, it's almost like they live for those 2 weeks or two holidays a year. And then they come back to what we call reality. And then we go back to being unhappy again.
Yeah, you see that all the time. I was talking with a client the other day about how many people put so much pressure on Christmas, as it says, that's what's coming up. And they have to get Christmas exactly right. And they have to have all the gifts that they want and the decorations be done right and the dinner and everything has to be amazing. And they somehow seem to believe that if you get that right and you get a big holiday right, then you'll be happy. And I just always think, well, even if you are happy in those moments, let's call that 3 weeks of the year, what about the other 49? Are we really going to accept being unhappy or kind of somewhere in between, you know, a bit mediocre for 49 weeks of the year?
Exactly. Great question to slow down to and ask yourself, like, how, like, what proportion of the year am I spending being happy? And if it's not all year, why not? Because what we've both realized speaking about this is that the external stuff that we've spoken about, the examples of which we've just shared, are actually quite short-lived in terms of the happiness that they bring. And that's not always the case. You know, it might be that every time you step into that car to drive it, it does give you that thrill, that sense of satisfaction, whatever it might be. So yes, there is an element of generalization in what we're sharing here, but broadly speaking, a lot of these things are short term in terms of the level of happiness. So what is the other option? How can we create longer term happiness that's sustained? So Darren, thoughts?
Oh, that's an easy one. Okay. I think another observation I would make first is how willingly many of us are, and I include myself in this at times, of course, to invest in those external things, almost without a great deal of thought, almost because we're on autopilot, because that's what we do. That's what's expected of us, perhaps, or what we think is expected of us. Whereas when it comes to that internal thing or ourselves, we're a bit more reticent to devote the time or the energy.
Yeah. And for me, I feel that's a little bit because it feels somewhat intangible.
Yeah, great point. Yeah.
Yeah. So we've got the material stuff, which is the tangible things that you can see. It's almost the return on investment is the things that we now have, the holiday, the experience that we've gone and had. But actually, the work on ourselves, so doing the inner work, which is around our physical, our mental, our emotional health, is something we often overlook and don't see the value in, because actually we feel that it's more intangible.
Yeah, it is a tricky one because on one hand, sometimes you can see the work that you've done, I suppose, or you can see it, certainly see the evidence of it if you look for it. If you're talking about like feeling or being, that's a little bit harder to grasp.
Yeah, exactly that. And I think another reason that comes up often, I know Darren, you've talked about this with clients you've worked with, is that it can be around either, well, self-worth, our own value, or the fact that actually we can't spend money on ourselves because we need to focus on our children or our partner and so forth, and therefore it doesn't make sense to spend money on bettering ourselves in some way. What experiences have you had of those conversations?
Yeah, that's quite a big one actually. It comes up quite often when people are thinking about working with us and decide that they'd like to. Sometimes that is a real barrier. It's not so much the money in itself, it's the thought of spending that money on themselves. Is that somehow selfish? When I should be supposedly spending money, spending time on other people. It comes up quite a lot actually.
And what do you feel is the reason for that?
I think that the self-worth thing is definitely a part of it, definitely a part of it. And many of us, and this is a nice quality, spend a lot of our time in service to others, whether it's through our work, whether it's through our family life, our friends, etc., etc. And it's easy for ourselves to get a bit lost in that. And then I can see how that could stimulate feelings of guilt or selfishness. But to me, it's that it's forgetting the link that actually, the better we are, if you like, then the better we're going to be able to serve others and play our roles.
Yeah, and I think that's a really important point that you've made. It's almost a bit like, the saying that we can't give from an empty cup. I talk a lot, and you do too, about showing up as our best self and being at our optimal, at our best in whatever we do. And that's not about being selfish. That's about being able, by being at your best, or the best version of yourself, let's say, you get to be the best for the people around you, whether that's your family, children, your partner, your colleagues, your teams. All the people around you will be impacted by the way that you show up in the world. And what I mean by how you show up in the world is physically, mentally, emotionally, at your best. And then that directly impacts everything else that you do in terms of your ability to focus, your energy, your decision making, and all of that then impacts both the people around you and the experiences that you get to have every day, which in turn has you feeling happier and more fulfilled. And it's sustained, which is the difference between the internal, the intangible of doing the inner work or the work on ourselves to be the best version of ourselves, versus the short-term kind of quick fix that most of us go to. And as Darren said, I mean, I'm guilty of it as well. We all do it because it's our natural go-to, is to go buy something, or we need to get something or have something to fill a void. And one of the fears, I know Darren, you've just mentioned a few, and things around self-worth and value and almost feeling guilt. I think another fear that I've come across with client or clients or people kind of resisting working on themselves is the fear of actually looking at themselves to have that introspection, and to hear what's really going on for them. It's a little bit like meditation and just being with your own thoughts. And sometimes people actually fear that so much that they will do everything to be busy and to be occupied or distracted so that they don't really have to be with themselves and to really look at, okay, where am I right now and what is it I can do to really be the best version of me for me and for people around me. And it's something I've seen a lot. I don't know, Darren, if you've seen that as well in your industry.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, we to link to what you said then, we talk a lot and we ask the question of our clients, you know, what does health mean to them? And it kind of means almost exactly what you said, as in it's all the qualities that you have when you're being your best, the energy, the confidence, et cetera, et cetera. But I do wonder sometimes, and I can think of a few examples where people are a little bit reticent to almost like open up a can of worms. And it's like, right, if I start down this path of inner work in some way, you know, whether you're talking about physical health, mental, emotional, spiritual, whatever, I'm a bit worried about what I might find and how long it might then take to kind of unpick that and get it to a place that will bring genuine happiness. Much easier to hide behind these other short-term pleasures, if you like, and delay it, I guess, because it can be pretty uncomfortable.
Absolutely. And as they, what's the saying around, get comfortable being uncomfortable, right? Because that's where we get to grow. And it's not easy. I think we've all been there at some point in our lives, whether by choice or not. But actually, you know, there is that potential can of worms. And I think when we've been in this space of, you know, health and personal development, and actually recognizing that that really isn't healthy. So putting things away and not dealing with them, or hiding behind it by distracting with, for example, spending your money on lots of nice things that you feel will make you happy, and not dealing with the deeper level stuff, is actually unhealthy, because it will then start to, it causes stress in the body fundamentally, which then impacts our health.
I've heard a definition of stress about, and this isn't a perfect one, it's not the kind of dictionary definition, but about knowing there's something that's not right but not doing anything about it, and kind of having that constant sense of unease. I can imagine that can wreak havoc in the body, I'm sure. You know, if you're living in a way that you know ultimately is not being true and is not perhaps working towards that long-term happiness, that I'd imagine is going to take its toll after months and years in some cases, definitely. Risk of going off topic here, I think you also see this in relationships as well, potentially, that rather than doing the work, shall we say, it's very easy to cover it up with short-term fixes, nice dinners, gifts, etc., etc.
Yeah, a good example there, a great example. And again, I think that's why we often read about or hear about, for example, summer holidays and Christmas time is when the highest number of divorce cases get filed, because, you know, often people are kind of, they're busy in their day to day. So working, running the home, you know, doing stuff with the children and so forth, and all the day to day activities. And then suddenly you find yourself thrown together as a couple on holiday or at Christmas at home, and suddenly realize that you've got nothing in common, or you've got nothing to talk about, or just don't get on, and just arguing all the time because of the pressure, often, especially Christmas, with all the pressure, as Darren said, that we put on ourselves. Everything has to look a certain way and has to be this way. We have to have everything, all the food and the gifts and the so forth. And then it starts to cause the problems within the relationship. And actually, it's doing that work and having those honest openings with one another. It's great, a better experience and a deeper connection and more happiness, therefore, as a consequence. And so, you know, and I think we've all been guilty in some way of trying to just disregard things, put them under the carpet. As I used to say many years ago, so I just put it in a box and move on. I wouldn't deal with things that were emotionally upsetting or uncomfortable. I'm just like, I'm gonna put it in the box, one, I don't need to deal with that. But actually, that's just suppressing emotions. That's then distracting from something that actually, if we deal with it and we address it and we face it, we overcome it, it actually creates a way of being able to live a life of freedom and of choice, because we don't have those things in, almost in the, what's the phrase? I'm going to say in the closet, is that the right word? But those things that we've hidden away in that box, I don't know. But you know what I mean? And so it's like we're waiting to be found out, or for it to explode, or to come up, or someone to call it out. And actually, without realizing it, that's having us not be able to live that real life of freedom and choice. And
yeah, and you can see how people would feel trapped.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and I think that comes back round to the guilt that we mentioned earlier, because I think there are a lot of people who feel a bit stuck, who feel a bit trapped, who feel like, but they shouldn't complain because things are okay on the surface. They've got the nice house, cars, job, etc. So they almost feel a bit guilty about the idea of striving for something better.
Just, am I deserving of this? Am I worthy of this?
Yeah.
Should I be prioritizing something else? And then, of course, you've got the fear of other people's opinions that always kicks into play at some point.
Yeah. How can you possibly be happy?
About what people...
Yeah. How can you possibly be happy? Look at your home, look at your things.
Yeah. I think there's so many different directions we can go in with this conversation. I think fundamentally what the reality is, happiness can be surface level, or happiness can be real deep, innate, sustained happiness. So we can go for the quick fixes and then get left wondering why we're still not feeling happy and fulfilled. And for me, that's a little bit like living a life of mediocre and not true fulfillment. Or we can really go deep and look at ourselves and ask ourselves the question, what needs to happen or what needs to change for us to be able to live the best version of ourselves? Because when we get to do that, we get to do it both for ourselves and for everyone around us, because everyone will get impacted by that. And I think that then leads on to, what's the return on investment of doing that? Because it is intangible. So, Darren, how do you kind of talk around that with clients that you work with? What's the return on investment that you see of giving yourself the gift of focusing on themselves?
Yeah, I think it's personal to each individual, of course. But it all starts with asking yourself the right questions, or the good questions about what does... And I often believe that health and happiness are almost interchangeable. So I don't think you can have true health unless you're happy. And I don't think you can have true happiness unless you're healthy. So they're very, very closely linked. So by starting with the question, you know, what is ultimate health? What is ultimate happiness really? And, you know, like that old technique about asking yourself the same question however many times until you get to the real answer. You know, not just the answer that you might give to your friend when you're having coffee or whatever, the real answers. And defining what that is. In fact, I was having a conversation with a client just this morning, who, let's just say, is having a bit of a tough time at the moment. And the interesting thing that we took from the conversation is that he said, "Do you know what I need to do to get kind of out of this bit of a rut?" He said, "I need to refocus on my health." He said, "I've noticed whenever I do that, it's a catalyst for so many other things and for taking action in so many other areas." So I think, yes, there's two things. There's one, there's defining what this ultimate health and happiness is, and then there's taking action. So it's one thing having a dream written down on a piece of paper or up on a vision board or however we want to do it, but it's got to go hand in hand with action.
Yeah. And I think with the action comes the consistency and the discipline, right? Because I've learned that for myself, particularly with health. It's, you don't get the real benefit, let's say, without the discipline, without the consistency and the commitment.
Yeah, maybe that's another challenge then, because you know, if you have the means, you don't need much consistency and discipline to buy a new car. Whereas yeah. Health or happiness, then it definitely do. It is like so many things. It's a product of your habits, if you like. Mm.
Yeah. And I think that's probably one of the other reasons we kind of touched on of actually not going there, not doing it, is that it requires, so whether it's health, whether it's our psychology or physiology, there's work to be done. You can't just go and buy it. You can't pay for a personal trainer and let the personal trainer do all the work. You've got to turn up and do stuff.
I know. I've been trying to invent a way to do that for years and years.
Yeah, let me know when you mind it. I'll be really interested.
You're signed up immediately.
And this is the thing. It's you know, you've got to do the work. And I think that's, in my experience, and I think from conversations we've had, Darren, yours as well, is for some people, that's resistance in itself, because it's not just go and buy something or pay for something and there you have it. You know, when it comes to the health, the happiness, the kind of the mindset, the psychology of how you live your life, it's like, yeah, we've got to do the work. We've got to look at ourselves. We've got to do the introspection. Mm-hmm. And then as you know, with health, with mindset, there's muscles to build, there's habits, there's consistency, there's discipline.
I think that brings doubt back into people's minds about themselves. You know, do I have the discipline? Do I have the willpower? Am I capable of applying myself in this way? But I think it's what I see in people who are successful with this, is that they kind of accept the reality that it is going to take work and kind of relax into it. Because if you don't do that, it will always be, you know, whatever what you're talking about here, whether you're talking about the the mindset, the inner work, or whether you're talking about the physical health related work, the making healthy choices with your food, the exercise, sleep, etc. it will always be a chore if you've got that level of resistance towards it. I think kind of acceptance and relaxing into it And knowing that there's kind of intrinsic benefit from the work in itself, as well as the end result.
Yeah, most definitely. It's what's coming up for me as you said that is the why has got to be big enough for you to actually then be committed to the process.
Yeah. And why could be bigger than happiness?
Yeah. Because I guess from your side of things, Darren, with the health and well-being, you know, the why could start with, oh, because I want to fit into my favorite. So I've got a wedding or a party or something coming up and I want to look good. Okay, but why? I feel more confident. And why, you know, you keep asking the why and what else.
Mm-hmm.
More often than not, you'll get to ultimately is happiness.
Yeah, all roads lead there, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, if you go back again to that return on investment of, I mean, a car is probably not a great return on investment example, but, you know, the short-termism of it all, you know, going on holiday or whatever it might be, it's having a thing or the experience, but actually with the intangibles, the return on investment can almost be whatever you want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on that level of commitment, the consistency, discipline, and how much work you want to put into it, because it is effort. And it's the repetitive effort, you know, we talk about in the gym of building the muscles. You've got to be consistent. You've got to be disciplined and committed. The muscle, you know, it's whether we're looking at the psychology or the physiology, it takes time. It requires that commitment. It requires the work. And that in itself is a great reason, excuse, not to even bother or to go there, because it's too hard. It's too difficult. And we'll find loads of other things to focus on instead so that we don't have to do that work.
There is a bit of us, I'm sure, that's programmed to, well, let's be lazy, it's probably a bit of a stretch, but kind of do the minimum where we can. But I think that if we apply that to health and happiness, then we're never going to be it, are we? But I think the great thing is that by taking a slightly different perspective on it, you do get the return on the investment on a daily basis. Even feeling like you're working towards something, feeling that you're making progress, you know, seeing the difference, showing up differently with your relationships, with your kids, with your partner, whoever, having the energy, having the confidence. I guess that, you know, the evidence of the return is there. It's just whether we're tuning into it or not.
Yes, exactly. And on what value we place on it,
yeah,
as well. And it isn't, none of this is black and white. None of this is straightforward, because there'll be reasons for resistance. You know, we can look at, you know, things like examples like procrastination, emotional eating. There's so many things where the reality is we're not doing something because we're, you know, there's something underlying that that's stopping us. And that's the question that you want to be asking, is really, what is it that you really want? I mean, Darren, I know you gave an example earlier of a conversation this morning. Is there another example you have of a client perhaps, or someone who's explored working with you who didn't, and you know, what was the outcome of that?
Actually, it's somebody who said, I can't spend that amount of money on myself. And again, it wasn't that they didn't have the money. I saw their new kitchen, which probably not six figures, but certainly a high number of five figures. It's people's discomfort with investing in themselves in something, as we say, isn't necessarily tangible. A lot of the results that they get. Trying to think of another example that springs to mind as well. another one actually last week who was recounting, he's been working with us for about 6 months or so, how he thought, this is just about kind of physical health. This is about my nutrition, my exercise, and that type of thing. And he was telling me how I didn't realize the knock-on effect that would have in so many other areas of life. I'm more energetic, I'm happier at home, I think the quote was saying, which makes my wife happier, which makes my kids happier. So I think keeping in mind, if you are somebody who struggles with the concept of investing in yourself, whether financially or in time, is keeping in mind all the other people who would stand to benefit or who will stand to benefit. And that's a really important thing to do. And I try and remember to ask that question of every client that we talk to when we're thinking of working together, which is, who else around you will benefit from this, from you being a better version of you.
Yeah, and I'm absolutely agreeing with you on everything you said there, because I think it all comes back to showing up as the best version of you creates the most incredible experience for you and for the people around you. And it's remembering that time, work, effort and investment in you can make all the difference to the life that you get every day. And that's huge. I mean, if we all know, we've all been through the pandemic and recognize that, no matter what we have in the world, how much wealth we have, you cannot buy health. It's the thing that we've got to work at, and the healthier and stronger we are physically and emotionally, the better we can deal with things and cope with things. I wanted to share an example of one of my clients who came to me specifically for around his career. He was feeling that he wanted to be more visible in the organization, and also the rewards for that. And that was specifically what he came to work with me on. And this is now for me. So Darren's all the kind of the physical health, the internal health. For me, it's more around the spiritual and the emotional from a psychological point of view. And so with the coaching and the mentoring, we worked together on this, and my client, within a matter of 6 months, he'd had a 28% bonus. Within 18 months of working together, he had a 49% pay rise, which was unheard of, unprecedented in his organization. He had promotion, he became more visible with the leadership and executive team. He was being brought into meetings now because they recognized the value that he had to bring. So it was huge. So he got the results. But it wasn't only that. So kind of what Darren's just shared there, the impact was so much more than that. Because with coaching isn't coaching the presenting problem, which in this client's case was the lack of ability in recognition. I coach the individual, the same way in which Darren worked with the individual. And so the results become bigger, they become holistic. And for this client that I'm referring to, one of the biggest shifts for him was around his money mindset, which meant that now he had created new possibilities for himself, which he never would have even considered. And that was huge, because a big part of that was in terms of buying his first home and being able to actually invest in something which he would have thought previously with his limited mindset, let's call it, that's not something that was possible. He actually said that emotionally he became a lot more mature, the way that he dealt with people, with relationships, as a consequence of work we did together. The impact of that was across the board, with family, with friends, with colleagues, and also now meeting his partner. So, the impact of coaching is huge. It's not just about the problem that we come with. And that's something that I think is important to recognize as well, because when you coach an individual in the same way that you can work on an individual's health and well-being, the impact of that is holistic, and the impact of that is on everyone around you, not just on yourself. And I think for both the work that both myself and Darren do, it's about opening your eyes to the possibilities that that creates. And so, Darren, what are your kind of final thoughts as we start to wrap up?
Final thoughts. I think another fear people have sometimes when it comes to, I guess, investing in themselves is that you're in some way taking away from something else. You're detracting from something. But you've just described with a brilliant example there, how if you, you know, this person maybe invests a few hours a month, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
And what a disproportionate return on that investment, which actually benefits every area. I think that's it's an amazing example, because people look at, oh, you know, I've got this time, this day, I need to, you know, dedicate this time. That seems like a lot when I should be doing this. It's like, yeah, but what do you stand to gain? You know, as you say, what are the possibilities? And this is such a, I guess, a big statement and big concept to get hold of. If we're talking ultimately about working towards happiness or being more happy, surely that's worth a few minutes, a few hours of our of our time, just because of the sheer impact it has on so many aspects of life.
And I can totally agree and resonate with everything you said around, particularly around health, because I know that for 25 odd years, I was so on top of my health and life was great. You know, everything became easier, became clearer. You know, when you've got high energy, you know, when you can jump out of bed every morning, you know, you can have long days, it doesn't affect you because your health is in a good space. And it impacts everything from work to your social life, to your family life, to the things that you get to do through a day or a week or a month, and the energy levels, and you're happier. And when my health isn't optimal, which admittedly it isn't right now, and it's being worked on, it impacts how you're feeling. It impacts the levels of happiness, of satisfaction, of energy, of clarity. And all of that directly influences your day-to-day life. So why would you not prioritize your health, whether it's your mental health, physical health, spiritual, you know, it's why would you not do that? And I guess a question to leave you with would be, what is the cost of inaction? What is the cost to you of nothing changing? What is the cost to you of staying where you are and experiencing the same over and over and over? What are you missing out on? What opportunities, what possibilities? What about the benefits to the people around you? What are they missing out on by you not showing up as your best self? And that ties back into what started. What are you focusing on? Are you focusing on accumulation of more stuff? Or are you going to start focusing on you and the real, true, long-term, sustained happiness that you can create for you and for the people around you by actually investing on something that might initially feel intangible, but the rewards are... that's the word. You can't even put a figure on the rewards, the impact, the results, the experience that you get from being at your optimal health and really letting go of stuff that holds you back to be able to get that life freedom and of choice. But ultimately, it's a decision you get to make. It's a choice that you have. And I think I've seen clients who have chosen not to invest with us and nothing's changed. They're still living a life of being frustrated, fed up, complaining, unhappy, and buying the nice thing. Short-term boost. It's true. It's true.
Are they prepared for that to continue? You know, if so, that's fine. But if you want something different, then it's time to ask these big questions of yourself and take action.
Definitely. I think it's how long are you prepared to put up with the current situation? I'll do something different. Thank you very much, Darren, for joining me today. It's been a great conversation. And until next time, remember to elevate your performance, maximize your potential, and create new possibilities by showing up as the best version of yourself. Hope you've enjoyed today. Thank you very much for joining, and I will see you next time. Thanks again, Darren.
Thanks, Lila.
Thank you for listening. Please subscribe to this podcast if you haven't already done so. And if you enjoyed and gained value from today's episode, then do please leave a review telling us your key learnings and what you enjoyed the most. And do please share this podcast with your friends and colleagues so we can spread the word on life leadership, creating a life of choice, freedom, and new possibilities. Connect with me directly on LinkedIn, and if you would like to learn more about how we can work together, either DM me on LinkedIn or email me. All details and resources can be found in the show notes.